Area in this message we've been preaching for a while, have the victory over. And tonight the Lord be our helper. We're going to continue on this, going a little bit different ground, going into chapter 5 of the book of Joshua. Children, have the victory. We preached this morning the 12 stones that were taken over out of the midst of the Jordan were taken over as a memorial. If you notice that, said this will be a memorial forever and ever. And the reason for it to be a memorial, said when your children's children come and ask what means these stones, you'll be able to tell them. Something that the Lord just deeply impressed in my spirit, didn't get to that this part this morning, but the stones that were taken back into the midst of the Jordan. He didn't say that was a memorial for generations to come. He said it was to be remembered forever. And for the reason of that, for them to see they've got the victory over the Egypt. They've got the victory over the wilderness. Now they've got victory over the Jordan. And they're coming into land. God's building up their faith. If you notice all the way through the book of Hebrews, Chapter 11, we talk about by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. Wasn't by man's ability, but by faith they fell down. God's telling them, you know, a lot of times we see things that come. God intended for this to build our faith, but we happen to look right past it. We don't see it. It's to build our faith, to help us. Here in the first verse in chapter 5, we find that all the captains of those of the Jericho and about says that when they heard, now I believe all the way through, that wasn't far, about 3/4 of a mile where they crossed the Jordan River to where Jericho walls were. Don't you doubt for a moment, God didn't send messengers and that enemy saw how God's bringing deliverance. How do you know this, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked, because chapter 5, verse number 1 clarifies it very well, that they knew God had parted. It divided. Here says, dried up, the Jordan. They knew that. And because of that, they knew they're not fighting those children of Israel. They're fighting the God that the children of Israel serve them. And now they see what a victory He's brought them from too. And they fear, verse number 1, begins to proclaim the latter part of verse number 1 in chapter 5. You don't have to stand yet. This is not where I'm preaching from. But says, the last part of it says, until we were passed over, that all their hearts melted, neither were their spirit, was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. They had saw the miracles that God had done. They saw the victory God's bringing. And I'll tell you, that right there was to show the children of Israel, God didn't bring us this far. Remember what the Lord spoke this morning in interpretation. He didn't start us. He didn't bring us out that He couldn't bring us in. He's going to bring us in. If we don't go in, it'll not be God's fault at all. If we don't inhabit the land, the place that He said, I've gone to prepare, it isn't God's fault at all. He done everything possible. He didn't make us serve Him. He won't make us serve Him. But He's done everything possible that we're going to make it there by the grace of God. Stand with us, if you would. We're going to read a few verses of Scripture. I'm trying to see where to start out here. I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to read... I'm going to skip around for time's sake, all right? I want to read verse number 10. I'll back up on the other and then skip down to verse number 14. Or verse number 13. Verse number 10 says, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover 14 days. In the month, kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at evening, in the plains of Jericho. Now this is very vital that you remember this. And the 13th verse says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him," listen what he said, "art thou for us or for our adversary?" Listen what he said. "And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." You can be seated. The Lord be our helper. Just a little while tonight, I want to preach at least three different areas. We were going to go on over into chapter 6 and just briefly go into 5 and pass over it somewhat. But the Lord wouldn't allow that this evening. When we started studying, the Lord just began to take us to chapter 5. We're going to spend some time there. Probably not even get into chapter 6 where Jericho shut up. The victory's brought. You know the story. Probably won't get to that tonight. But I want to preach three areas that God has to give us victory in. Number one, we stated how that here in verse number 1, God showed them, if we're not careful, here's how it is today. We fear when trouble comes. It had not to be us fearing. If God be for us, who can be against us? It had not to be us fearing. It ought to be the enemy fearing. It ought to be, Brother Fred Starnes, that every day we get up, that enemy ought to get up trembling, saying, "Brother Fred Starnes, his feet's on the ground. I better watch my steps. He's on my trail." Instead of us fearing every time we get up and go and do and are about, instead of us fearing what the devil's going to bring our way, the devil ought to be fearing. You see here, this was a type of the enemy, the devil, if you will, to the children of Israel. They weren't fearing. Why? Because it started out. Chapter 3, God gave them the recipe, how it's got to be done. Have to be sanctified, have to be set apart. Here in chapter 5 is another illustration of that. Now, the enemy's fearing on the behalf of what God's done. They look at you. They're seeing the Christ, the hope of glory in you. It's not you that they fear. There's very few people that would fear Leo die. My kids occasionally might have when I've made a few threats. But there's very few people, Brother Arliss, that would fear me. But I can tell you, if I'm walking with God as God wants me to, if I'm set apart unto the work of God, when they see Leo die come down the street, they ought to, in reverence, in godly fear of reverence, say, "That's a man of God." I remember as a younger preacher, or as a younger Christian, I should say, before I started preaching, I can remember going to Marshall Radio Station, KCGS, years and years ago, in the probably mid to late 70s, and singing with my sis and my brother-in-law on a radio program. I wasn't in church. I'd been in and I was out. I remember going in, and the time that my brother-in-law was to preach was right behind Brother Donnie Chisholm. He just got through preaching. I remember seeing him, Brother Arliss, when he walked through the door, coming out, exiting that radio station. I remember, as I'd see him at a distance, fear would begin to grip my heart. There was a reverence, a godly fear, and a reverence not of him, but what he had in him, that I would think in myself, knowing that I wasn't living right, the Lord's apt to tell him how I'm living, what I'm doing. And I fear that. That's what was going on here of the people of Jericho. They are saying that God those Israelites are serving. We saw, we heard about it, we wasn't there. We heard how that He stopped the waters of the Red Sea. We heard about how that He drowned Pharaoh, all the Egyptians, when they tried to pursue and cross over. We've heard about that, but now we view this from the walls of Jericho. We saw how that the mighty hand of God parted the waters of Jericho when the banks were flooded and the children walked across on dry ground and their hearts began to melt and there was no spirit left in them, the Bible says. There was no spirit left in them. One of the greatest battles we'll have to get victory, folks, will be, I'm setting the foundation, this going to preach to you in a little while, will be the battle over self. You know, we have to die. Has to be death of self. That started when the children of Israel began, we'll never die without hearing the word. You hear me tonight? You'll never die without hearing the word. And then, the only way death comes to the flesh, I'm not talking about giving up the ghost dying. I'm talking about dying out to the will and the desire of Leodai. The flesh man of Leodai must decrease. The only way that'll happen, Jesus said, I used to quote this wrong. I must decrease that He may increase. That's an impossibility. I can never decrease till He first increases. I've got to hear. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. What Jesus said exactly was He must increase and then I'll decrease. When He increases in my life, that Word has to become a part of me. When it does that, brother and sister, then the life of Leodai will begin to decrease. Death to the flesh must become a part of reality and battle before the victory ever comes. Listen, I'm going to give you a verse of Scripture right quick. We might just kind of paraphrase this, but in the first three verses after verse number 2, down through about verse number 6 or 7, the Lord spoke to Joshua. Now, if you knew, there was a circumcision of the flesh under the old covenant. Abraham, first one to ever be circumcised. But this is a covenant with God. You know what that simply is typifying? Is a separation. And as they're circumcised, all of those that come out of Egypt, they're circumcised. But now, God spoke to him and He said the second time in verse number 2 down through about verse 6 or 7, you'll see that this is the second time for circumcision. Not that they'd been circumcised twice, but He said those, Joshua began to rehearse those that died because of their disobedience in that wilderness. They were circumcised before they come out of Egypt. But now, these that have been born in the wilderness, the victory hadn't come in their life entirely. They crossed over. The victory's starting. But now, He says they must be circumcised. And Moses gathered all the young men of Israel that day. And the Bible said, He told them, get a sharp knife. Begin to circumcise. This is vital before the total victory is won. Simply saying in the New Testament, it's not circumcision of the foreskin, but it's circumcision of the heart. That this heart has to be circumcised. What He is saying, you've got to leave all the world of Egypt and all of that wilderness life behind. And now you've got to have a number one love for Jesus more than anything else. Folks, we've got to die out the death of the flesh. We are to be separated, He's saying, from the things that would hinder you in getting the victory. Could I say this tonight? That a lot of us are walking way beneath the victories that God intended for us to walk. And I can tell you, friend, if you get a victory tonight, it'll cost you something, Brother Arliss. But if you keep a victory, it'll cost you even more. There's been times, some of the old saints, if it was Grandma or Grandpa, if it was Uncle or Aunt, whoever, just a brother friend, has helped pray us through, Brother Fred, to a genuine victory in the things of God. But then, they're not always there by our side to help us fight when the temptations come, or when the enemy comes in as a flood. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against that enemy. You see what Joshua, what God is trying to paint, a picture in Joshua that the children of Israel can see. He's letting them know up front, God's going to be the one to fight. You see, it's very vital, friend, that we hear the words of God, that we know the true, uncompromised Word of God. Jesus said in St. John's Gospel, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. It's very vital and it's very important that we hear the words of God and not the words of another. There is many voices in the land today, and there's many today that would try to say, as they did in Jeremiah's time, thus saith the Lord, and it's not the Lord at all. I can tell you, friend, the only way we'll know if they're speaking from the Lord is that we know this book from front to back, and we know His Spirit, because He said, my sheep know my voice. The only way the victory will come is in knowing the voice. It has to be death to the flesh. Isn't easy, is it? Jesus made a statement, if your hand offend thee, cut it off. If your eye offend you, pluck it out. What's a hard saying? Now, He went on to say, for it's better for you to enter into life maimed than to be cast out and miss heaven, behold. I can tell you, folks, it's much better. But I don't believe if this hand was used to stealing, just because something happened, my hand got cut off, doesn't simply mean I'd quit stealing. It starts in the heart. That heart has to be circumcised. I remember several years ago, Brother Eldon Keene and I were preaching in a revival, or maybe it was a meeting. I don't know what it was, but we was preaching. We was preaching way off from here. I'll not say where it was. And there's a man received the offering that night. And Brother Eldon told me, said when the offering got around and then finally got to us after church, he said he saw somebody by and put in a $20 bill. And there wasn't a $20 bill in that offering. It's just a few dollars. Wasn't hardly anything to offering. And he said, that man stole that offering. That man took that money out of that offering. I just kind of chuckled. And maybe I hadn't ought to have done that, but I said it ain't bothering me. I can tell you, folks, if his heart ain't right, if he didn't rob from Eldon Keene and Leo Dye, he robbed from God. And you know what happened? And this was an older man. And it wasn't but about probably 3 weeks to a month, less than a month, that man had a wreck and cut that hand off, cut that arm off nearly up to the elbow, almost lost his life because of it. And Eldon was telling me about this after that. And I thought, listen, the Bible plainly states, be sure your sins will find you out. Listen, folks, it's a serious thing to have God mad at us. He's a God of war. He's a God of vengeance. And God, why do you say that, preacher? He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will what? I will repay. I can tell you, folks, we might get away from this or that authority, but we'll never get away from the authority of God. That's a little bit of what the people of Jericho, the kings, it were the five kings of Brother Arliss, they're seeing that. They see the vengeance of a fury God. They see the wrath of a God and what it did to Egypt. And now their hearts begin to melt, and they begin to have no spirit in them. What are you saying? They couldn't fight if they wanted to. They knew they were defeated. Oh, they're not fighting the children of Israel. They're fighting what the children of Israel has. A God that is holy and righteous and knows all. Our hearts must be circumcised, must be separated, if you will. We can never please God. We can never march on in. Now hear me. It'll take me just a little while to get this out the way the Lord laid it on my heart. I was going to completely bypass this. God said this evening, after about an hour nap, I got up and I'm ready to fight the devil every step of the way if need be. And the Lord, I was fixing to go right over and we're going to march around Jericho. God showed me some things in the Jericho march I never saw before. But the Lord said it's vital. It's very important. Go back to chapter 5. Briefly, I didn't have a lot of time because I hadn't really spent much time on chapter 5. But God says this is vital. The death to the flesh has to come. The children, those of Jericho, they've done saw it. They've saw they're set apart. They're meat for the master's use. They're work in the hands of God, and God's used them. But now they've got to see that. We've got to go back. You remember when they come out of Egypt. Everything had to be right. Now we've got the circumcision. Tonight the heart must be circumcised. It'll never do us any good, folks, to try to lead anybody in victory if we don't have the victory ourselves. If we don't know about the victory, we'll never be successful in trying to teach others. It's always just seemed to gall me to no end. Folks write a book on 7 ways to raise your kids and they never had one. Makes me want to pick them up, give them a good slap and send them back home. They don't know the first thing about how to raise a kid if they've never done it. It's kind of like a guy and I almost let his name slip, but thank God I didn't. A few years ago, he come stayed with us for a while. And a real likable guy in ways, but one of them kind of guys that a little dab-a-do, you know, after a while. And knew everything. I mean, you couldn't tell him nothing. He done knew it all. And I had some cows down at Cozy Home then. I didn't remember who it was. Some of the boys may have been. The older boys ain't here tonight. But he told us about he was out in Wyoming. And he rode in a horse ranch a roundup. He said, I mean, it's just like the roundups they had back in the late 1800s. He said, they got the chuck wagon. I wouldn't doubt what he wasn't there, but he didn't ride no horse. I can tell him that. He must have been on a four-wheeler. But he said, we was 3 months out there. There wasn't no stores. He said, everything they cooked from the chuck wagon, everything right there, which I found out he had a pretty bad spirit of lying in him after about 3 or 4 months of being around him. But we went down. I'd moved my cattle from down at Cozy Home up home. Just had, I don't know, 10, 11 cows. And we let one get away. It was about a 800-900-pound steer. Got away, Brother Arliss. We couldn't catch that thing, save her life. I mean, it got out. So we rounded up the horses. And we went down there. And this young man, I almost said his name again. He's ready to go. He said, I'll go help you. And my brother Charles, he's riding one of my brother's animals, a mule, by the way. And he's out there and he's trying to saddle up that mule. And Charles come out there. He didn't know he'd been on an all-summer chuck wagon roundup in Wyoming. And Charles said, boy, have you not ever been on a horse in your life? Why, yes, sir. He'd never seen Charles. And he said, yeah, I've rode horses a lot. He said, you got the saddle on wrong. You can't ride that horse that way. And Charles saddles it up for him. And I can tell you what he'd done. He'd watched a few pictures somewhere of training. He got on that horse and he's talking to it. He couldn't even turn it around, or that mule. He couldn't even turn it around. And little to say, he's no good in that roundup. I said that for this reason. The world can see us today and know if we've been where we said we've been. Peter and John come into the picture in the book of Acts. And the Bible says they took knowledge. You know why? Because they've been with Jesus. Peter and John didn't have to tell them, I've been on the roundup. I can ride that horse. I can catch that cow. Peter and John didn't have to tell them, I've been with Jesus. The Bible said they took notice. They took knowledge. Knowledge is something you know about. They know because they seen Jesus inside of Peter and John. We can tell them all we want to tell them today. but the proof's in the pudding. I hired a man. He's a little older than myself. He's a real likable guy. But he knew everything. I just have a hard time dealing with people who know everything. And I found out after I'd hired him for a while, he didn't know near what he thought he knew. He cost me more money by turning him loose and not checking his work. We'd overhauled an engine. I'm going to get back to preaching in a minute, but I'm using these things are vital. Now, if you can't stand a story too, I'm not preaching a bunch of stories and a little bit of message. I'm preaching a great big message and a little bit of stories, all right? You wouldn't have liked Jesus preaching if you didn't like stories, because he told a lot of them. There's a man lived at Western Grove, had an East Datsun, 82 Datsun four-wheel drive. And we overhauled that thing, put new rings, bearings, time and chain, gaskets, had the head done, put it back together. Well, I left this guy to finish up the bottom. We put oil in it. I said, now you make sure the filter's tight, make sure the oil plug's good and tight, and all of that, just simple things, simple procedure. Double check those minor things. A few days later, this man calls me, and he said, I've got a terrible oil leak. I says, well, they're bad for the sending unit to go bad. Possibly you've created more oil pressure. Could be a possibility. Bring it back. We'll look at it. Could be the oil sending unit dripping. There's bad to leak around that little gasket around the center of where your wire hooks. I said, I've seen them drip. I've even seen them squirt oil out. Bring it back. Well, that evening, he said it got so bad leaking, he went somewhere, come back, and he said, I mean, there was a puddle as big as a coffee. You'd poured a coffee cup of oil out on my carport. So he said, I just thought I'd crawl down under it, try to see where it's coming from. Thank God it did. If he'd have drove that vehicle to my house, he'd have learned that engine. And the oil plug has just got one thread holding. He said, I touched that oil plug, Leo, and it fell out in my hand, poured oil all down my arm. And I said, okay, I know who to talk to about that. Whatever it needs, we'll take care of it. He come down the next day. And the young man was, like I say, a couple, 3 years older than me. I called his name. We sat down at the kitchen table before we went to work. I said, listen, fireman called me. He's bringing that truck down today. We're going to change the oil on it. And this time we're going to make sure that the filter's tight, the plug's tight. Here's what he said. I said, you didn't tighten up that oil plug like I told you. Double check these important points. He said, here's what he said. I'll never forget it. Sitting right there. He said, Mr. Boss Man, he's trying to make me look bad. I guarantee you, I tightened that oil plug. He's trying to make me look bad. He loosened that plug up. I'm not saying the oil didn't leak out, but I had it tied, he said. He's doing that to make me look bad. He never even knew the man. Why would he do that? I said that for this reason. You can blame everybody else you want to for where you are. But dear friends, you need to look into the mirror. Because I can tell you, until death of the flesh, death of self comes, until the circumcision of the heart comes, we'll never gain the entire victory that God is expecting us, the church, to gain. I thought, as I looked at him, and needless to say, well, a few weeks later, I sold him a four-wheel drive. A couple of weeks later, just like this, and on payments, never did come back. I give him the title, never seen him again. And I'd call him and come to find out he sold the truck to Bill Whitty and took off to Texas. So I said, that's one way to get rid of a problem. Pay him to leave. Pay him to leave. But I stated that for this reason. We can blame everybody else. He went to Texas thinking the reason he couldn't work for me, I was too hard to get along with, because we required to have tight oil plugs when you did an engine. Make sure it don't go down the road and fall apart. Most folks today saying, if you get out of my sight, the warranty's over. That's all I'm looking for. But I can tell you folks, and we're the same way in the most of the churches, we get out of sight of the church and we're no longer the church. We become the nature of what we had in Egypt, and we don't have the total victory. But listen, we can blame everybody else, but the truth is, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord. The circumcision of the heart, if you read on down, verses 8, 9, and 10, you'll find when the children of Israel is coming out of Egypt. Now here's some things that's vital before we get the total victory. The flesh has to die. The circumcision, not of the foreskin, but circumcision of the heart. And now, he said they illustrated the Passover on the 14th day. Does anybody remember in the book of Exodus when the children of Israel, Exodus means exiting. They're leaving out. God's bringing them in if they'll allow Him to. Now those that started out of there didn't make it, but two of them. But God didn't intend it that way. It was their fault they didn't make it. God didn't intend that at all. But now they're eating the Passover lamb. They have to do this and be ready. And now the victory in chapter 6, this is the total victory that we're going to take Jericho. God said it, we're going to do it. Everything has to be done just like God said for it to be done, all the way from the time of us setting ourselves apart. How many days? He said 3 days. If it was two, they'd fall short. If it was one, they'd fall short. They wouldn't to do it 4 days. 3 days, he said, you're to set yourself apart. And in this, God gave the victory over the Jordan. And now they're on the other side. We stated this morning, it bears repeating, they carried those stones back in the midst of that Jordan. It's not a memorial for generations to come, as he said, the ones carried out to Gilgal. But this is for them. He said it'll be remembered forever. And it's for you and I to see the Jordans to come back upon those stones. And the only way we'll ever remember that past life is if we allow the waters to get low enough. When we begin to get low, we begin to remember where we was. The devil's the accuser of the brethren. And he'll cause you to think sometime you're not even saved. He'll cause you to think nobody wants to hear you. Nobody wants to be around you. But listen, I know what Jesus said. Satan's a liar and the father of all lies. We must illustrate the blood of the Passover lamb. The illustration of the Passover lamb then was the blood of a bullock that was killed. But we illustrate it now, the precious blood, the one that covered those sins in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered, as the psalmist said, anymore. We are to illustrate that blood of the lamb, this Passover. When that blood was illustrated, that blood was applied, the Passover lamb was eaten, folks. Jesus said, except we eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, we have no part with him. We've got to illustrate that today. I believe, and seem like we don't do it near enough, I believe it's very vital. We take the Lord's Supper. We take communion. I believe that's vital. We need to get back doing it more. And Lord, help me not to just say it and then forget it. We need to do it more. Folks, these are things that I believe is vital. Does that make you set apart? No, it doesn't. But I believe, he said, it does show the Lord's death till his coming. That'll help us to have memory and realizations what a great price was paid. But listen, folks, the children of Israel, everybody would like to have the victory right now. Nobody wants to wait. It's almost Christmas. You think you're getting something that you think you might want. I want to open my gift now. What's the difference if I open it November the 1st? December the 1st? I don't have to wait till the 25th, do I? I want it now. And it's the same way we go through trials. We're headed toward victories. We're in a conflict. Nobody enjoys a conflict. Nobody enjoys a battle. But I can tell you how sweet the victory is. And it seems to me like the greater the battle, the greater the victory. Brother Fred, if it's a great, long, hard battle, it could very well be a great, long, sweet victory. That's the way God intends for it to be. He rings the victory in our spirit, and He intends for us to know it wasn't the flesh's ability that got it, but it was God that brought this victory. It was God that brought this victory. Now they saw the fear of the children of Jericho. They've been circumcised, the young man that's to be set apart. We've been circumcised in the heart. We saw the enemy fear. I can tell you it's been a long time since I've seen the enemy fear in revivals and cry out. Have you ever seen that? I have. Been a long time. I've seen the devil cry out in services because he knew he's in trouble. He was like, Legion, Jesus, why hast thou come to torment us before time? Cry now. But it's been a while. Now they've illustrated the Passover, the blood of the Passover lamb. And now we get down to where I read to you. Here's the last thing, folks. We've got to bow before and fall before. I believe the captain of the Lord of hosts. I believe myself. You believe what you want to. I believe it was Jesus right there in the midst of that. He was in the fire with the three Hebrew children. I believe it was Jesus right there in the midst. His Lord, His Father sent Him down there. Captain of the host. I can tell when Joshua saw this man, listen, this is very vital. There's times we want to fight the battle. God says it ain't for you to fight. You need to stand still. Let me fight the battle. Here's the man. He's standing with the sword in his hand. That's typifying. He's a man of war, Brother Fred. He's armed and he's ready to fight this battle. And as Joshua sees this, he goes to him and he begins to ask him, are you for us? Are you for our adversary? And all he said is he is of the captain of the Lord's host. And the Bible said that Joshua fell down at his feet and he began to worship him after that the man had stated, the ground wherein you stand is holy ground. He realized, I believe this burnt in the heart of Joshua. How do you know this, Leodi? I believe that Joshua had heard Moses rehearse the same thing. He had heard Moses and he rehearsed in Exodus chapter 3 where that Moses on the backside of nowhere, God spoke to him out of a burning bush, said, take your shoes off. Said the same thing to Joshua. Joshua, pull them shoes off. Moses, pull them shoes off. The ground wherein you stand is holy ground. And the Bible says that Moses bowed his face to the earth in reverence and began to worship God. Joshua bowed his face in the earth, began to worship God. And he began to fear in reverence to God. And listen, nothing else was stated in that. But in the next chapter, God gave Joshua the recipe for the total victory in the Jericho march. I've got the sword. You don't need one. I'm fighting the battle. You don't need to fight. This battle will be won by faith. Hear me tonight. If we make heaven, it won't be because we've been a good soldier or a good fighter. It'll be because we've kept the faith. We've kept the faith to hear Him say, well done. They that will endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Oh, folks, we've got to keep the faith. What we started with, it's easy for us to let down our guard. And it's easy, and I can tell you, if the enemy could, he would deceive every one of us. The Bible states, if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. Now, let me stop right there for a moment. I hear all the time, preacher, I just think you're a little too hard. I like to hear you preach if you just wouldn't be so strict. There's nothing wrong with us dressing the way we want to dress. One of the kids was telling me that Holiness Church now, well, I told you here at this church, one left our service last Sunday, was it? Week ago Sunday or last Sunday, we stopped at a store there and they're trying to buy liquor. I'd have never thought anybody had heard Leo Dye preach and have enough guts to stop in the liquor store. And as big as I am, they evidently didn't see me or didn't care. But I'm going to find out. I guarantee you the next time I see him, Diane said you need to approach that individual. Talk to him. I'm going to find out what's going on here. And I just about got a sneaky suspicion they'll take me to the book of Timothy where Paul said, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. I'm going to take them to the book of Leo. My name ain't Timothy and my tummy don't hurt. Thank you. That ain't what I need. I need more of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need the victory. If we've ever needed the victory, folks, we need the victory today. If it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. For the elect's sake, I believe he said the days will be shortened. Folks, if there ever was a time we need to work every day, here's the reason, stating what I started out in. I am so frightened to let down anywhere. I'm too near the end, Brother Arliss. I've held the standard this long. I believe it's worthy to keep on holding. And I don't see no need in letting down. My days are but few. My days are but few. I see no need to let down. It causes a fear to come up in me to think that I might even seem to come short of the things of God. I believe, folks, if we live every day that way, we have a fear of missing out on the things of God. We have a fear of displeasing Him. Will I please you or not? I want to, but what I do, it's immaterial. But I must please God. Brother Guy, if I don't please Him in the end, if He's not satisfied with the life of Leo Dye, of the battles that I've fought, will every one been in vain? But if He's satisfied in the end, I believe He's going to say, you fought a good fight. You've kept the faith. You finished the course. Henceforth there is a crown of righteousness laid up for you that I'm going to give not just to you, but to all that love my appearance. I believe the Lord's going to say, we'll fight this fight with faith. Faith. It's easy to say. Oh, but sometimes so hard to get. Have you ever prayed for anybody? It seemed like they wasn't getting a hold of it. And they'd come up for prayer, and when you know, you could tell when they left, they didn't get anything. And you'd think, boy, now, you got to believe. Come on. If you'll just believe, the Bible says all things are possible to them that believe. Well, I ain't the one the doctor said's dying with lung cancer. I ain't the one that's got the heart disease that I can barely catch my breath. I'm on oxygen. I'm not the one that's fighting that battle. Listen, folks, I found it to be more difficult to find faith for myself than it is to find faith for you. When I'm in that low estate, when I'm in that place of impossibility, when I'm in the place that I know without a doubt, God, if you don't intervene, I'm done. I'm finished. It's over. Sometimes it's hard to fight that fight. I'd rather get a hold of something tangible. I'd whole lot rather grab somebody and fight them in the physical, Brother Arliss Mertz, than to fight that battle to everything that's within me. I've got to defeat that opponent. I've got to defeat him before the victory comes. This is a faith fight, sir. It's a faith fight battle. We talked about earlier, battle of the unknown. It's a bad place to be. But a lot of times the battle of the known is a bad place to be. You know, somebody said, well, I know what the doctor said. I've got to go back to Isaiah, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. I can tell you who has believed the report, to those that the arm of the Lord is revealed. When His arm's revealed, His power, His deity is revealed in our life, then, folks, we'll believe His report above what man says. When we're in the Spirit, we fight in the Spirit. When we're in the flesh, we fight in the flesh. Why do we lose most of the battles the most time we're in the flesh? Hello? I'll just preach to me a while. Oh, amen, Brother Dye, that's the truth. I know where I'm at most of the time. I'm in the flesh. Have a flat and we just get all beside ourselves. Horses get out and get in the corn patch. We're ready to have horse burger. We lose all the victory. It doesn't take much to cause most folks to lose the victory. Why is it? I can tell you this. The times that we've been here when these folks laying in the floor and the power of the Holy Ghost was so real, they wasn't an individual in the house, but what couldn't sense the glory of God. It wouldn't have done the devil. I wouldn't have cared if every cow I had and every goat with them was in the corn patch. It couldn't have separated me from the love of God, the victory that I had. I was walking in it wise by faith. We reach the spirit realm. We're not in the flesh, the carnal man. I believe that Apostle Paul said he knew a man about 14 years ago, whether in the body, out of the body. He said, I cannot tell. But such a man was caught up into the third heaven and saw things that wasn't even lawful to be uttered. He's talking about himself. You get in the place, I don't know that I've ever been where Paul's talking about. But I tell you, I've been in some levels that's above the first level, I can tell you that. And it was great. It's out of this world. And when you get in those places, you're not looking to fight the carnal. I'm not wanting to kill somebody's cow because it got in my corn patch. I'm not wanting to kick somebody's dog or kill it or give it strychnine because it caught a chicken. The Bible says, if they ask you to go a mile, go twain. If they ask you for your coat, give them your cloak also. The only way we can do that, folks, is if we've went the second mile. You go the second mile, everything else becomes easy. Where was it we saw on a billboard? There's very few on the road of the second mile. Where was that? Something to that extent. Very few on that road. You got a lot of room on that road. There's a lot of folks on the first mile. There's very few on that second mile stretch. Very few on the second mile stretch. Hallelujah. Joshua, I believe he sensed something different about the man had the sword in his hand. When he asked him if he's for us or for the adversary, when he asked him to pull, said, pull off, take off thy shoes, pour in the ground, you stands holy, and he began to worship. I believe in that sense. Folks, we can hear the testimonial. Gideon had to be took right down to the camp of the Midians, did he not? Lord, if you'll just cause the fleece to be dry and the ground to be wet, and the ground to be dry and the fleece to be wet, and Lord, I'm going to fleece you if it won't make you mad, and I'll listen to you. Well, I just ain't sure yet. Maybe that was just a coincidence. God loved him so much. Now, if it had been me, I said, you lied twice. Why do it again? You done said this is all it's going to take you to march on. But God ain't that way. God just told him, said, get up, my Gideon, get on down to the camp of the Midianites. When he got down there, God took him right where he needed to be. And somebody dreamed a dream. And they saw a big barley cake come down, roll through the host of the camp of the Midians, destroyed the tents, everything in it. And then somebody right there, God said, I'll just lay the interpretation on the heathen. And they began to interpret. Said, why, this is nothing other than the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. I'm telling you, Gideon got up from there. He's ready for the battle. You can never fight the battle, sir, until you get past the place, realize it's not our ability, it's not our battle, but the battle is the Lord's. David said, the battle's mine, God said, at the Red Sea. You can stand still. I'll fight this battle. It's mine. This is a faith battle. It's a faith walk. Boy, I'm wanting to jump on over into chapter 6. But I preached, I feel like, long enough. Somebody come get us a song. I know you are probably ready to hear some singing getting these altars. We've got to be subjected under the hand of God. If we don't submit ourselves into the hand of God and hear His words, folks, whatever we might have seen, whatever we might have experienced, will not be beneficial to us in the victory, in the battle for the victory that's ahead. If Joshua had not heard what God had to speak when the captain of the Lord's host stood there with that sword, if we're not careful, sometimes we want to please everybody else. And I find myself from time to time, Brother Arliss, I want to lean toward things that people desire and people want. I love to please my wife. And thank God I've got a wife that ain't hard to please. If she was, I'd be in a heap of trouble. God knew who He was giving me when He gave me Diane. Ain't nobody else. Most of you come out my house and they say, I'd have every bit of this junk hauled to Tom Barr. Diane thinks it, but she don't do it. She's long-suffering and patient. Long-suffering and patient. But listen, folks, I know from time to time the pull for us to be lenient and waver toward the thoughts of man are so great. I can understand why preachers all across the land, Brother Arliss, are slacking up on their hard, straight preaching and teaching and walking with God. You know why? Because that's what the people's wanting. I thank God for just a few men that's still left. Listen, folks, the few that I've heard, I've been on Brother Harrell's different places, don't have a television, but I've heard a few of them on TBN. The only ones that I can think of right at the time that I'd really give you much to listen to would be on the Swaggered family. Yeah. I'm telling you, still preaching the old, same old things. I've not got to hear them but two or three times. The other, here a month or so ago, was back. Oh, Brother Harrell, he said, you got to hear this. Took me in there, turned something on. This is not back way back yonder preaching. No gray-haired Jimmy Swaggered, wrinkled, and face is dropped, and 78 years old, I believe. And boy, he's laying the hammer down. Laying the hammer down. And listen, folks, it's not popular. It's not popular. But every devil in hell, that's the very reason that the devil set a snare to try to, if he could have, he'd have liked to have knocked Brother Jimmy Swaggered plumb out of the saddle.
That's right.
Don't you think for a moment that there couldn't be a snare set.
That's right.
If we don't get and stay in the place that our eyes are entirely up
That's
on
right.
Him,
That's
don't
right.
you think for a moment a snare can't be set.
That's right.
Because it can.
It can. Yes.
But I fear missing Jesus. The things of God and not pleasing Him way more than I fear the expectation of the people. As they get it.